On November 21st and November 28th, Weaponry will continue its look at the implications of Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin's assassination on the peace process and the Middle East in general. So tune in on November 21st at 12:30 a.m. Tuesday night and November 28th Tuesday night at 1:30 a.m. to listen to Weaponry's ongoing look at the implications of Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin's assassination. Only on listener-sponsored WBAI Radio in New York City, 99.5 FM.
And this is radio station WBAI in New York, where we're broadcasting from a brand new studio, a brand new interim studio, and this is Off the Hook, where we're going to play around with the studio and see just what this thing can do. And right now I'm looking for my intro theme. You see, the problem is we have the old numbers, the old cart numbers, and different cart numbers here, so I'm going to assume that 5 is actually 2. Is that right? Okay, all right. So I'm going to hit this little button right over here and press this. Ah, yes, it's time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much work, but if she could, they would. So they live on for the best, best for worse. I hope that's understood, but then you know.
I have to say, this is a very exciting moment when you're presented with brand new equipment to play with and you don't quite know how to use it, and all kinds of funny noises can come up behind you without warning. You never know what's going to happen next. I mean, I hear people playing music. I don't know where that's coming from. It's all kinds of strangeness going on here. Oh, I'll tell you, that's what high-tech is all about, learning to use something for the first time, getting on the net, playing with the program, seeing what it does, maybe breaking something. But, you know, these things happen. It's part of exploration. It's part of life. It's part of growing up. We got to experiment. We got to try new things out. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing here tonight as we experiment with the phones, we experiment with the new board, and we try and see what our capabilities will be in the future. And we're going to be open to suggestion. We've got Fiber Optic finishing his soda outside because we don't allow them in the new studio anymore. No, sir. Try Dalton now.
Three, four, zero, zero, one. 7-9-3-4-0-0.
Okay, no problem at all here. Fiber, you can't sit over there because that's the mic that doesn't sound so good. You have to sit as far over there as you can. It's better, but it's not the best. We want to give you the best mic. So that one over there, yeah. That's, go ahead, now try that one out. Actually, I'm not getting you at all. I'm sure there's a logical reason for that. That's mic number three. Or is that mic number one? I'm going to turn them all on.
Mic
here.
Number three.
Okay. Mic number three does not seem to be working. There's something I'm doing wrong here, I wonder. Have the volume up, right? Okay, pushed all the right buttons, but you're not there. Are you in any of the mics? Try them all.
I'm not in three, right?
Not in three.
Okay.
Try two.
Am I in two?
You're not in two.
Am I in one?
You're not in one. Okay, there's nothing coming up on this channel at all. Let me just bring you up so that we can hear you somehow.
Talk. Okay, can you hear me right now?
Yeah, you're coming through something.
Okay.
So it's not working. Does not work as far as that particular microphone does. We should try hitting it real hard. Like, all right, well, for now, let's use that mic.
This one right here?
Yeah, that's fine.
This one works.
That mic number two works.
Okay.
Mic number three does not.
All right.
Okay, already something is broken, but okay, nothing major to deal with there. So, this is the new studio. We have a new phone system, and presumably everything works in a different way. You know that VAI signature of ours where people talk for a long period of time and the person on the air is like trying to get a word in edgewise and
they're
not able to. Well, supposedly that's not going to happen anymore. So we're going to encourage people...
That's actually like a full duplex phone connection?
A full duplex phone connection.
Wow.
We think it works now? Let's try it. No, I don't think it works because we're not getting anything. We're getting music. But we're supposed to... Okay, we'll send that one out for repairs, and I guess we'll just have to keep you on that microphone over there.
Okay, this is fun.
Yeah, it's nice, though. This place looks really nice. Looks like a real radio studio.
It actually smells new.
It smells new, yeah, that new radio studio smell that that most radio people always smell. But at VAI, you know, we never quite had that opportunity. Hey, you know, there's a timer on the board here. I can time things. I'm not going to press any buttons because I don't want to break anything.
Maybe you can time our favorite caller.
Yeah, we all have our favorites. Here's a manual on the phone system, which I've already glanced at a little bit, but it'll probably be going through that as we do the radio show. We have some updates on things that are going on around the world, some of which are kind of interesting. And we'll be taking phone calls on our brand new phone system. Look at how those lights blink. It's kind of neat, isn't it? They blink totally differently than on the other system. But don't call now because 9X will cut you off after about 30 rings or so. So wait until we announce the phone number, and you won't be wasting your time that way. Okay, let's take a look at what's been going on around the world insofar as weird stuff. You know, there's certain parts of the world, certain parts of the world, but there's certain parts of the country where you're instructed not to dial 911 ever.
What do you dial?
Well, that's you know, what's open to contention. This local fire department has an annual newspaper, and there's an article titled, "Please Don't Call 911 If You Have an Emergency." Apparently, there's no 911 service in that part of New York State, which is near Poughkeepsie, and there's not going to be for about 2 years. According to that article, if you dial 911 here, you'll get an operator somewhere in the United States. Note that the last time that happened, the operator was in Florida, and it took about 30 minutes to dispatch the fire department. Fortunately, the fire burned itself out. Now, what happens if you call 911 in an unserved area? 30-minute delays are not acceptable, obviously. Basically, different things happen depending on the system and what's hooked up. Sometimes you get a fast busy. Sometimes you get a recorded message. Sometimes nothing happens whatsoever. Sometimes you get someone in their house, I guess. There's a lot of weirdness still going on in this country, and not something as standardized in our eyes as 911 is not necessarily standardized in other places. And I told the story about how I dialed 411 somewhere in Pennsylvania in GTE land, and I got some woman in her house. And her phone number wasn't 411, and she didn't know how I could do that. And I didn't have to pay to call her either, which is kind of funny. So I think, how hard would it be? How hard would it be to have 911 everywhere, just at least forward, you know, to a real police department? I mean, that's not hard, is it?
It doesn't seem incredibly difficult. I think the thing that they're worried about is calling volume.
Uh-huh.
That if they forwarded it to another, what do they call it, public safety answering point, I think they're called PSAPs in telephone lingo.
Well, I'm told here, this comes from the Telecom Digest on the net, that sometimes two or more very small communities are served by the same phone exchange. The authorities can't decide amongst themselves which one should handle the calls. And so because of that, they...
I'm picturing like two old fat sheriffs like flipping a coin.
Basically, that's what happens. That's I don't know if it's flipping a coin or so much just loading guns and things like that. What they do there. Okay, 9X has announced that it has expanded its online Yellow Page services so that consumers can now find virtually any business in the United States. What do you think of that? 9X Interactive Yellow Pages. It's available on the Internet's World Wide Web, http://. You know, is ever going to be a point where you don't have to say http://? I mean,
well, actually, you're not required to type it in Netscape. It defaults to
that. That's true, you're not. But still, every time you see...
I think we're grown adults now. We could say, if we don't see the HTTP, we should assume it's there, unless there's something different there.
HTTP://.
Right.
And in fact, you should be able to knock off the www as well.
No, not everyone uses it.
All right. So I'll just say that the web page address is at www.niyp.com.
That's actually been up for a while.
Stands for 9X Yellow Pages?
9X Interactive Yellow Pages.
Oh, okay, because I was going to ask, where does the I come from?
Yeah.
9X Interactive Yellow Pages.
Yep.
It offers consumers 16.5 million business listings from throughout the nation. The directory includes business type, name, address, and telephone number. It's the United States' first and only complete online national business phone directory. And it's free, right?
And it's free.
They haven't figured out a way to charge for that.
They will eventually, I'm sure.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting about this, do you know that this service is located in France?
It is?
It's in the Paris suburbs. If you try a trace route to www.niyp.com, you see your packets hopping across the Atlantic and bouncing around in France before finally arriving.
Why in France?
Well, 9X had a deal with Minitel, and for a while you could call into Minitel from the New York area using PC software they gave out to simulate a genuine 1200/75 BPS Minitel terminal with a little text-only screen. That was kind of fun, but kind of overpriced. If you speak French, utterly unusable otherwise. And apparently, that's what this deal evolved into.
Hmm.
Yeah. that's kind of interesting. So again, that's the webpage, www.niyp.com. Doesn't exactly flow off your tongue, does
no.
it?
No.
Yeah. Anyway, Swiss phone books have been available for quite some time at, you can telnet to this one, telnetetv.switch.ch, and you log in as ETV. And you can search for just about everything. Number, name, address, lookup.
Hmm.
So it's the wave of the future, you know, these CD-ROMs that have everything. That's where we're going. Okay, here's something from the Risks Digest. San Francisco has been trying for the past 3 years to upgrade its 911 system, but computer outages and unanswered calls remain rampant. For example, on October 12, 1995, that CD player only plays one song because it's in single mode. I see, so I have to physically click it to go to the next one. Okay, then I hit this button. Is that how it works? Hey, we're fighting with the CD player. Okay, apparently it only wants to play one song. Okay, there it goes. Good. Okay, so what happened in San Francisco, on October 12, 1995, the dispatch system crashed for over 30 minutes in the midst of a search for an armed suspect who escaped. The dispatch system was installed 2 months ago as a temporary fix to the recurrent problems, and it too has suffered unexplained breakdowns. Screens freeze, vital information vanishes, and roughly twice a week the system crashes. Dispatchers are not able to answer between 100 and 200 calls a day. Many non-emergency calls are also being lost. Quite a nice environment there. Okay. A power failure on October 17, 1995 at 12:08 p.m. Caused a 12-minute outage in the air route traffic control computer system affecting traffic in parts of Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Louisiana, and Arkansas. You know, the same thing just happened this week, too. I don't know if you heard about that. The computer out in Ronkonkoma, something happened to it, and for about half an hour, I believe, nobody knew where anything was. Planes flying everywhere, UFOs, nobody knew what was up there.
There was a special on, I forget what news program it was, but they were saying, they were complaining how old a lot of the flight control systems are. And in a lot of the major cities even, that they were saying that it's actually scary how many times the flight control system crashes while there's planes in the air, obviously.
Yeah. Oops, wrong mic. Okay. Yeah, it's scary. You try not to think about things like that when you're up there in the sky, but it's...
I do. That's why I never fly.
I mean, when you know how computers work, when you see the kinds of horrible things that happen to them, I mean, you know, horrible...
Well, especially when they're 50-year-old IBM mainframes.
Yeah, I mean, what are they doing? What's wrong with these people? They should be using Macs or something. You know, point
well, maybe not personal computers, but...
Well, they couldn't be any worse than what they have now. I mean, what kind of computing power are we dealing with, you know, on a mainframe from 50 years ago? I don't know. What else is going on here? The UK's two largest credit authorization systems, Barclays PDQ and NatWest's Streamline. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's the UK's two largest credit authorization systems, Barclays PDQ and NatWest's Streamline. Well, they both failed on Saturday, October 28th, leaving retailers unable to verify customers' credit cards. In Barclays' case, more than 40% of transactions failed due to a bug in the system's software. For NatWest, the problem was a huge backlog of calls. The reason was unstated, which delayed card authentication. Both systems had contingency systems, however, which allowed retailers to telephone in authentication requests. Isn't that good planning?
Good planning.
However, you knew there was a however to this. Due to the volume of sales, the lines rapidly became jammed and completely unusable. Let's see, how about this? On November 9th, a whole village, population 3,000, had its telephones disconnected. Actually, this comes from Cyprus. Had its telephones disconnected from non-payment of their bills, an entire town. According to the newspaper report, a computer error showing all subscribers in the village to be in default was to blame. Reconnection took place when the problem was discovered a few hours later. However, they had to take buses to the other town to call in the problem in the first place, since no phones in that town were working. Let's see. A big-time software pirate was arrested in Los Angeles last week and charged with two felony counts of fraud and trademark violations. Authorities seized an estimated $1 million in illegally copied software. Do you think we have $1 million of software if we add everything up that we've ever run on our machine?
Millions,
I mean,
of dollars.
We've got Unix systems. We've got, old D-based systems. We've got things from CPM and MS-DOS.
Well, when they say millions of dollars, they're probably talking about the research and development that
went
into the software.
Oh, they're adding in entire computer systems and apartment complexes for the people to live in while they're developing it.
Sure.
They reach these values. But, yeah, I'd say we probably have $1 million between...
At least.
Each, probably.
Easily.
You and I probably each have $1 million.
We're millionaires.
And that's not illegal software, by the way, too. I should point out to whatever federal authorities are listening right now. All of our software is accountable for.
Totally.
Because we've got this really neat program that does... Well, we'll get into that later. High-speed duplicating equipment. You also had that and $15,000 in cash. Thomas Nick Alifantes was the culprit's name. He calls himself Captain Blood.
Jeez.
It's kind of hard, you know, when you have names like Captain Blood for the average, Geraldo fearing American to not see you as evil. He allegedly sold his wares through advertising and trade publications and a mail order business. America Online issued a warning to its users about a destructive file attached to an email message that has been circulating through its service and also over the internet. The message itself is okay, but trying to run an attached Trojan horse file called AOL Gold or install.exe could crash a hard drive. What do you know about this?
Yeah, actually, I got the warning from one of the many security mailing lists. And apparently somebody had attached a file called AOLGold.zip,
uh-huh.
for PCs, apparently running Windows. And the actual message that it was attached to was claiming this is the new version of the AOL software. And what you would do is, obviously, the person would download it and unzip it, and a lot of the files would look like they should be there, but as soon as the person ran the installation, it would format their hard drive.
Now, doesn't it say formatting hard drive?
No.
It doesn't say anything like that,
no.
So, isn't there a long period of silence where you see your hard drive being accessed?
Yeah, but as soon as it starts formatting, I mean, it's kind of too late.
Yeah, once it gets the FAT, it's like, it's all over.
It's gone.
That's something. Now, you say they said it was the new AOL software or the new AOL software?
This is the new AOL software.
So this is for legitimate users that thought they were upgrading their system.
Yeah, exactly.
Not people trying to get a free AOL.
No. This was targeted towards a real AOL subscriber.
It's something I can't imagine why people would go to such trouble to do, to get a free AOL account. I mean,
they give them out.
I'll tell you, it's... I've used these commercial services, and most times, not to pick on AOL, you know, more than any other system, because, you know, the same holds true for CompuServe as well. It's just as more hassle than it's worth just to try to get on these things. You know, I mean, I think we should all use them to see what they're up to, but, I don't know, they have their hourly charges, they don't have full access to the internet, they impose censorship and restrictions of all sorts. Who needs that? I mean, I don't think I do. Okay, what do we got here? We got a 9X bill. 9X introduces... Oh, this is it. That's it. Okay. So you actually got a phone bill where 9X introduces their three new calling plans. Option one provides unlimited calling to anywhere, anytime in your local and regional calling area. The total monthly charge for your local and regional calls will be the same each month, guaranteed, no matter how or when you call.
Unfortunately, they don't say how you have to specially qualify for that.
Well, the way that you specially qualify, I know the answer for that.
Yeah.
That's by having a phone line
for a certain period of time.
Since July of 94 until June of 95. I think actually you could have it for 3 months prior to June 95 and it will still qualify you. What I'm more curious about is there some sort of a limit to this offer? In other words, can they say, you know, after a year, well, we can raise your rates, to whatever.
Unfortunately,
it is.
Unfortunately, they don't say
anything there, huh?
No.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll just have to see what happens then. I mean, it works. The calls are going through. I mean, I haven't got the bill yet, but calls are definitely going through. So there's three options. Option one gives you unlimited calling anywhere, anytime. Option two gives you unlimited calling anywhere in your regional calling area while keeping the same service you have now for local calls. So basically, you pay whatever you want to pay to make your local calls, and then you have a special rate for calling outside your local calling zone.
Right.
And that rate, obviously, is going to be lower than option one. Probably the best for most people. Then option three, this is the one I can't understand, guarantees you a low 6 cents per minute rate for the first 60 minutes of regional calling and an even lower 5 cents per minute rate thereafter. The more you call, the more you save. Well, you also spend more, too. I don't know. Do you think that makes sense for anybody? I mean, 5 cents a minute, that's...
Well, if you make a lot of calls within New York State, it's helpful.
Yeah, but if you make a call locally, it's less than 5 cents a minute.
Oh, they're not talking about local calls.
It doesn't say that here. It doesn't say they're not talking about local.
I would assume.
It says regional.
Yeah.
It doesn't exclude local, so I'm just wondering about that, if local is excluded. Okay, well, I guess we should experiment with this new phone system now. It being 8:23 gives us plenty of time to play around. We have the potential to put all kinds of different people on the air at the same time, and... We have the potential to hang up on people and talk at the same time. So let's just give out the phone number, 212-279-3400. And, we press the right buttons. Hopefully this will work. Okay, this is the phone set up right there. Ready to take the first phone call on the brand new phone system?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, wow.
Wow, you're the first.
Oh, then I'm not Rebel.
let's hope not. I mean, imagine what a nightmare would be if you woke up. No, that's not nice. That's not nice.
Anyway. Oh, but what's funny is actually just the second you pick up, it kind of beeps and goes beep, and then hello.
Weird.
Yeah, so it's definitely different.
It's definitely different. But, you know, the funny thing is, why don't you talk now while I'm talking?
Okay,
we'll see if the two of us can hear it.
Can you
hear what I'm saying right now?
Blah, blah, blah.
Could you hear what I was saying while you were talking?
Well, I heard something.
But you hear my voice. I'm telling you to shut up and stop talking. Can you hear that?
Yeah,
okay, that's good. That's See, that's what we need here. We need something to shut people up. Yeah. We have to do that. That's the New Pacifica slogan. Shut up. No, that's actually...
That's amazing. Well, my phone line is a little messed up, but that's a whole other story. But
we can't help you with that. Well, we can help you a little bit with that, but we
can't... That's exactly why I'm calling, though.
Okay, what's wrong with your phone line?
Okay. So my question is, when 9X comes to fix my phone, it always seems to work.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I was wondering if there's something that they switch in the CO before they come out to your place.
Well, now, what's the original problem you're complaining about?
Ever since I've had the phone line, which is, almost half a year now, static.
Uh-huh. You sound fine now. Crystal clear connection now.
Get out of here.
No, do you hear any static?
I hear no static at all.
Beautiful connection.
I don't know, I hear...
Would that every American could have a connection like this?
Did you ever consider that maybe it's your phone?
If I get a connection above, like, 2,400, you know...
Okay, well, now, are you talking about data connections? Is that what's giving you trouble?
On my modem, it's not data, but, yeah, you know.
Do you ever hear the static when you're talking to people?
Oh, yes.
Okay, is it always on the same phone?
I've switched phones and moved phones around and laid new wire in the house and tried a lot of things.
Uh-huh. And you always get the static?
Yeah, but...
But you don't get the static all the time.
It gets worse, it gets better.
Do you get more static when it's raining?
No, not really.
Really?
No, that's the curious thing.
Where do the phone lines come into your building?
Oh, they're in the back.
In the back? Do you live in an apartment or a house?
This is in a loft in an industrial area.
Okay, what you need to do...
The terminal is right down outside my window.
I'll be honest with you. I've climbed telephone poles because it's the only way sometimes to find out what's going on, really.
Yeah.
To see if the line is bad, if the line shows up. Sometimes you just have to go to the source. I mean, if you tried the phone company and they're not giving you satisfaction, go to where the line actually attaches itself to your building. Check that out. See if there's static there. Next time you get static, grab a phone or a test set or something and run to where those wires come in and check it there and see if the same static is there. If it is, then it's definitely something that's happening on the phone lines themselves, in the phone company domain.
Right.
If it's not, it's something beyond that point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm familiar with the network interface. Is that what you're talking about? Or are you talking about the box in the back of the building?
Network interface is really legally as far as you're supposed to go.
That I know.
Right.
Right.
If you have to go further sometimes to find out the facts, that's it's understandable.
Yeah, the terminal is really messed up. I mean, one of the phone guys that came to work on it said, wow, this is an old Boston box. This thing is ancient. It's horrible. It's a mess. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway. But what's funny is they'll call on the day that they're coming and they'll say, so do you still have static? I'm like, you know what? It doesn't sound like I have static right now. So it seems like something changed, like that the day they're coming out, it doesn't seem that bad.
Right.
So it just seems very bizarre to me, and I was wondering if they do some sort of test loop or something.
Believe me, they're not organized enough to be able to fix them properly. They're not organized enough to have an elaborate system where they can make things sound good when they come. I mean, what would be the point? Does it drive us all crazy or something?
Yeah, well,
I don't really. It doesn't really make much sense. Although I would have to suspect that something like that exists. I mean, I had the biggest nightmare with 9X over the past couple of weeks, just trying to get them to come and fix a line. We were playing all kinds of games as far as someone being there, someone not being there. They said they didn't have to come to the house, and then they did have to come to the house, but there was nobody there.
Yep.
And the problem obviously wasn't that. The phone was in the house someplace. The dial tone was not reaching the house.
Right.
It wasn't there. It was on there. And every time you called repair, they would be able to verify that fact.
Right.
Yet they still were not able to fix that. It took them 2 weeks to get a dial tone to come to a house. And it's absurd. And, I was barraged. This is really funny. I was barraged with those automated calls.
Oh, yeah.
Automated calls from 9X Repair saying they just wanted to check to make sure everything's okay.
Yeah.
of course your answering machine gets them. Your answering machine doesn't know what to tell it. And I don't know what the default is. I really don't. If you don't say anything, does that mean everything's okay or does that mean everything's not okay?
Yeah,
I got about four of those calls.
As far as I can tell.
In quick succession, within an hour, I got four different calls from 9X checking up on me.
Yeah, I've gotten two in the past couple of days.
Yeah.
They're pretty bizarre.
Well, listen, sir, we hope your problems work out.
Oh, well. Sometimes.
Yeah, but it's something a lot of us have to deal with.
You remember that story I sent you about 9X and getting the duplicate bills and all this?
Uh-huh.
And so I have some gentleman at the President's Helpline is now calling me on a regular basis saying, well, I'm still working on it, and it's funny. I've had three people from the President's Helpline now call me.
Well, you know, I complained to the President's Helpline, and, you know, I complained three different times, and the first two times they lost the record of me complaining.
I've done that. They did that to me, too.
I mean, who are these people? They can't even keep track of the complaints. They're supposed that's all they do is make sure that you don't go to the PSC. And, you know, if the PSC were open 24 hours a day, I'll tell you, they'd get a lot more complaints. But they close every day at 4:30, so obviously it's a lot harder.
Yeah, and I definitely have complained to them, and you got to.
All right, listen, thanks for the call.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see, how do I hang up? I guess I hit the next button. Does that make sense? Yeah, I think it does. I'm going to hit the next button and... Uh-oh, did I hang up on everybody? No, okay. I'm going to take this one now. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel.
Oh, you're number
two. I'm second. I love the new phone system.
Wait, how do you know you love it when you've just been on it for about 7 seconds?
Because
now?
I hear you, and I hear you, like, really crystal clear, and, like, you know, it's all, like, I like the way it...
So, you...
If that in fact happens, then it'll actually trigger a log to be generated that says there was a form of signal irregularity. Another thing is, obviously, statistically, when people come to empty out the payphones to get all the money out, and they obviously notice that the message accounting doesn't quite match how much money is in the phone, then over time they can piece together what the problem is there, and then they'll probably end up replacing the phone with one where red boxing is not possible. But signal irregularities are logged, as are what's known as walk-away fraud.
Walk-away fraud.
Walk-away fraud.
It's walk-away. Is that where the phone rings and asks you for money?
Yeah, and you walk away.
They actually care about that?
It's actually called walk-away fraud. It's in the Bell System practices.
But it's walk-away. What can they do about it? You know, you're walking away. You don't come
out. No, there isn't very much they can do about it, but it is outlined.
That's something.
Well, the friend that told me about that uses this, you know, the red box says that the operator does not come on. So in that case, where obviously there's no irregularities detected in the tones, is something else alerted?
No, normally not, but that certainly doesn't have to be that way forever. I mean, in this day and age, where all switches are digital, and all calls are actually processed by digital signal processors, it would be a relatively straightforward thing to start. Actually looking at the frequency and the speed of the tones.
Right.
Obviously, if everyone's using a Radio Shack tone dialer,
right,
the speed is always the same, it's always wrong, and the frequencies always deviate by the same number of hertz.
Right.
That can easily be programmed into a digital signal processor.
But, you know, they can also easily fix the system, so it doesn't work in the
Yeah, they
can
do that, too.
I mean, it's a question of priorities. You know, I was talking to somebody who works at Radio Shack. You know how many people actually come back to the store saying that the dialer they bought doesn't work?
Really?
Because they try to use it to make free phone calls. They modify it. In fact, sometimes they bring it back modified or crudely demodified.
Yeah.
And they say that, you know, it doesn't work to make the free phone calls or whatever. And so, you know, that's not why we sold it to you in the first place.
There's also the world's smallest potential red box, which is the Casio phone dialer that, of course, you know, has to use some kind of a 3-point-whatever megahertz crystal. But it's probably too miniaturized to modify.
You're changing a crystal in a watch is probably best left to a jeweler than as opposed to someone with a big fat soldering iron.
All right, thanks for the call. It's Joker is here, and you have you look apoplectic. Angry about something. What
yeah.
is it? I can't help but notice.
I want my $3 back is what my problem is mostly.
Oh, I know.
Well,
it's not 2600 you're upset about.
No.
It's some other magazines.
No, this magazine is called Virtual City, Your Guide to Cyber Culture. First of all, they use the word cyber on the cover, so there's problem
That's
one.
A couple of points off
I
right
saw
there.
This in a newsstand down in D.C. a couple weeks ago when I was down there, and I was in a real hurry, and if I had leafed through it more, I would definitely not have bought it. If you see this magazine, do not pick it up. The cover has a bunch of Hollywood stars in it, Jim Carrey, Courtney Love's on there, Andy Warhol, Kate Moss. Top line says, online made easy, money, health, kids, travel, and fun. Life on the net, it's your party, how to make the scene. Now, that's not what I...
Let's hear about that.
Exactly. Well, no, that's not what I was reacting to. I saw there's a tag on the cover that says, Hollywood sleuths take on hackers. So I was like, oh, this is, you know, something on hackers. I leafed through and I didn't see it immediately, but I figured, well, they're advertising it, so it's got to be in there. Well, you turn to the third page, and here is the article. I'll just read the first two paragraphs, and you see if this has anything to do with hackers or anything. Snip and Clip Scars the Superstars by Nikki Fink. Online or out of line, you be the judge. An actress appeared nude in a movie. Suddenly, her peekaboo poses show up on the internet. Some hacker with a scanner thinks it's cool to post a computer composite that puts famous star's head on somebody else's naked torso. An adoring fan creates unauthorized homepages located with flimsy gossip, intimate details, and gift pictures about an actor. Now Hollywood is beginning to bite back. Bite is spelled B-Y-T-E, by the way.
Of course.
Media figures who feel used and abused by the internet are hiring a new breed of outside consultants, or cyber sleuths, to seek out and destroy offensive posted material. Their job, to find the sites that publish real or fake nude client photos, known in NetSpeak as pasties, NetSpeak, delete the images and then track down the responsible parties. Then the lawyers set up a cease and desist letter warning of illegal consequences. Hollywood publicist Larry Winkelker advocates tech toughness. My clients abhor any loss of control over their images, and our job is to maintain as much control as possible. Now, I'm not even going to bother to read the rest of the article. That is the only mention of hackers in this entire magazine.
Well, you know, the word cyber sleuth was first introduced after the John Markov...
Shimomura.
Yeah, Shimomura thing. And that...
kind of have to say it
that, that's sort of the first time I think I ever heard the word cyber. In fact, I was convinced the book was going to be called Cyber Sleuth, but it's actually going to be called Takedown.
Takedown, okay.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's... I mean, it has language like this.
I mean, we spend enough time combating, you know, people who, you know, think we're all kids taking down systems and putting viruses on anything. I mean, we don't need another section of people misusing the word hacker, you know, just totally grossly...
Now it seems like anybody with a scanner and a copy of Photoshop is
now a hacker. Exactly. I mean, I just thought it was really funny, but it kind of ticked me off more than anything else. The last paragraph is really funny. How do we control it, worries Don Buckley, online movie marketer for Warner Brothers? It's technology. You can't get the genie back in the bottle.
No.
Or can you? By the way, Nikki Fink's email address is NIKKIFINKE at guess where.
AOL.
Yes, AOL.com.
Okay.
So there you go. Have fun. Send her a letter.
Send her a copy of that AOL Gold.
And, yeah, definitely. And
well,
I do not recommend...
suggest something like that. All right. Thanks for stopping in with that. Are you going to get your money back?
I don't know.
It looks like you've ripped it up quite a bit.
Yeah, it's been floating around. I've showed it to so many people just to get a laugh out of it more than anything else.
You know, I think you got me $3 worth out of it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
And I got my gripe out, so.
So we'll see if there's another one coming out anytime soon. We'll probably gripe about that as well. Hey, check this out. I just discovered something I can do with my voice. With this brand new board here, I can put this button and all kinds of weird things happen to my... it sounds like something's wrong with the system, but nothing's wrong, actually. You couldn't do that on the old board. Wait, I'm sorry, I didn't have you up at all. Say that again.
I said it's like the beginning of the Outer Limits show.
Yeah, too many buttons here. That's the problem. It's too many buttons, and you don't know exactly what they do. Let's press this button and see what happens. Hello?
A couple of weeks ago, you were mocking AT&T because they were calling 800 a prefix instead of an area code. And since all 800 numbers are not in the same geographical area, why would you call it an area code?
It's actually a special area code. SAC is the official Belcore term for it. But you could say all area codes are prefixes to prefixes, I suppose. But in general telephony, it's never called a prefix.
No, prefix is universally accepted as being the first three digits of a telephone number, not the area code.
But I'm saying that has to change because it used to be that an area code did designate phones that were in a geographical area.
And it still does. 800 has always been non-geographic, but it's never been called a prefix before. And for AT&T to suddenly start calling it a prefix, I think is just going to confuse people.
But you say it is in the same area. What area are they in?
Well, it's, you know, I guess area code is a bit of a misnomer too, but it is, you know, the legal term for it is special area code because it is a non-geographical area code. But it is, in fact, an area code, even though the area it encompasses...
It's an area code because it's defined in the numbering plan area, as in NPA.
But see, now you guys sound like the stodgy traditionalists that don't want to give up on the term area code, even though it doesn't mean anything.
I don't picture AT&T as a bunch of young punks that are trying to change the lingo. I picture them as a bunch of idiots that don't know what they're doing. When they're saying these, you know, their own terminology, they're not getting it right. They're not saying...
Well, for that matter, I could say the first three digits of my telephone number is an area code. Because it designates what area I live in.
That's why it's odd to see you on the side to say, you know, well, these are not area codes because this is an area code and this is a prefix. If they the terms aren't descriptive anymore, maybe it is time to change them.
Well, look, it's quite simple.
Deals.
Actually, yes, you have a point. We could change the terms, but I don't think that's what AT&T is doing. I mean, do you really think AT&T said that with a conscious effort of soul-searching and, you know, this is not really an area code? I think they just screwed up and said prefix when they meant area code.
But
that's
that
what
may
I think.
True.
I'm sorry?
That may well be true.
Yeah, I think that is true. I mean, knowing AT&T the way I know them, it's quite possible.
But, okay,
all right.
I'll grant you that. But I think that, and I'm glad that you granted me that the area codes are not area codes anymore because they're not in the same area.
Well, I think, you know, my prediction is that telephone numbers will just be 10 digits, you know, in the future. Just full 10-digit numbers. You won't even need to dial 1 anymore because everything will just be a 10-digit phone number. And after a while, I mean, with all these new area codes coming out, you know, they're crazy. Nobody knows where anything. You know, Minnesota just announced a new one, 320. Yeah, like, we're going to know that, you know. We're going to know that 320 is Minnesota. You know, and you have these crazy ones that sound like prefixes. Nobody's going to remember the area. Anyway, all right, thanks for the call. Good evening, you're on.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was wondering, I had a question about caller ID.
Question on caller ID.
Yeah, I have it. And I live in Central Westchester. And according, you know, when you get an out of area on it, it's somebody calling out of your regional calling area. Now, somebody called me from Mount Sinai Hospital, which is 212-241, which Mount Sinai is on 100th, you know, in northern Manhattan there. And it said out of area. I was wondering why.
Said out of area. That's
yep.
It should have said not available. Well, actually, out of area and not available, I guess, are the same thing. So.
Out of area doesn't really mean anything anymore because caller ID is available for the most part nationally. All it really means is that the place calling you doesn't have caller ID capability yet.
Right. In most cases, that means they're you know, out of the out of your calling zone, 212-718-516.
If they called you from a hospital, and it's most likely that the hospital is on a private phone system,
yeah,
in which case it probably doesn't have... Yeah, then it probably doesn't have caller ID on their phone system.
Now, a 1A, if a 1A was calling you...
Nope, no caller ID.
You'd get out of area,
yeah.
Right?
No, you would get not available.
Well, it depends what your caller ID box says.
That's true.
Yeah.
So does your caller ID box ever say not available, or does it always say out of area?
The only messages, according to the instructions, the only messages that can be put across are private, which is, you know, somebody has a block or something.
Right.
Out of area and error when, you know, something goes wrong, error.
Now, so out of area is a bit of a misnomer, too, because they're not necessarily out of the area. It's just not available in their area.
Okay. Just
all right.
Wondering.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Good evening. You're on.
Yeah, hello.
How you doing?
Just calling for Emmanuel and Cyber.
Well, here we are.
We're here.
You're there. Do I have you on delay? Hold on.
Well, no, you have us live. The rest
all
of the world is delayed.
Great. Listen, cowboys.
Cowboys?
I think there's a distinct connection between you guys and cowboys, but I'm a completely non-technical listener, but I think you're so fabulous. And I have a suggestion. I would like to know from you two, and also maybe from the really totally involved people that listen to this show, what is a hacker?
What is a hacker?
I mean, let's, you know, not a negative definition, but a positive one. What do you guys feel? What are you doing?
Well, basically, I mean, my main definition of a hacker is someone who just likes to explore, likes to experiment, likes to play around with technology and do various things, isn't so much concerned about, you know, what is considered proper procedure, who you should ask for permission to do something, to press a certain button or type a certain command. He's more interested in seeing what happens when you do it. And a lot of people, especially in positions of control, don't want certain bits of knowledge to get out because it's something that could compromise their control at some point. A hacker is someone who's not really concerned with either toppling that or preserving that. He wants to know what happens when you try it.
So the exploratory urge is far more important than the one to reject authority?
I would say so. I mean, rejecting authority is certainly a part of it, but there's nothing inherently wrong with rejecting authority.
No, I'm just trying to get at the motive.
Right, but I'm saying that's...
You know, the recipe of the motive, you know, it's semi language, I know, it's radio. Get them, you know, get through the power structure.
Right.
I mean, that has to be seductive. But.
Well, it is. But, you know, everyone's different. Everyone does it for different reasons.
Yeah. Well, I suggest for the BAI folder, that folio, that you get, you know, you're really hard and true people that write in some kind of definition. I think it's really important because the word is so badly used, and you mm-hmm. guys seem to know what the heart of it is.
Uh-huh.
The people that listen to you. So.
All right, listen, thanks for the suggestion.
Put it down in words.
Put it down in words.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's a suggestion. If people want to have a little essay writing contest or something, what do you think? We can offer a prize?
Sure, why not?
Okay. People should know what the definition of the word is. People should understand, what a hacker is in their eyes. I mean, does my definition sit all right with you?
Yeah. I mean, I concur wholeheartedly. I don't think I could add anything more to it.
A wholehearted concurrence is what I'm after. I'm glad I achieved it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, my name is Peter, calling from Connecticut.
Hello, Peter from Connecticut.
I live in Stamford.
Okay.
And Greenwich, Connecticut is a town right next to Stamford.
Yeah, they're a bunch of troublemakers, aren't they?
They are, yeah. It's like, yeah. I've grown up in Greenwich all my life, and I just moved to Stamford.
Oh, so you're a transplanted Greenwichian.
I'm a transplanted Greenwichite from Greenwich. I'm in Stamford. And it's a town right next to Stamford, and it doesn't have it's out of the area.
Well, that's
and all my friends are in Greenwich, every time I get a call from Greenwich, or 90% of mine, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, I canceled my caller ID because everything was out of area.
Right. Now, what's your phone company over there?
SNET.
So that's the independent Southern New England Telephone.
And, Southern New England Telephone. Greenwich happens to be in the New York Telephone.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Well, actually, 9X, right?
9X.
Yeah, 9X.
Well, were they the part of Connecticut that was served by New York Telephone?
Yeah, Greenwich.
Well, actually, I think it was like 75% of Greenwich.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, that's probably the reason right there is the two different companies. Is it a long-distance call for you to call?
No, it's a local call.
It's a local call.
Local
even though
call.
You're going to another phone company.
Going to another phone company. And you know, I know somebody here in Stamford who got caller ID about a year ago. And he said, oh, don't worry. They say Greenwich is going to be hooked up, you know, real soon. And,
mm-hmm.
and here it is. They must have had caller ID here for in Connecticut for a couple years now. And I don't think they're going to get Greenwich on.
Well, now, do you know what kind of switches they use over in Greenwich?
No, I'm not that...
Because, I mean, if they're using 1As or even crossbars, which I doubt, then, of course, it's not going to work in the first place. I mean, Bell Atlantic, it does work, right?
Atlantic had enough 1s and 1As that they retrofitted the 1s to 1As and actually equipped the 1As to do SS7.
But in 9X territory, that's not...
No, there weren't enough of them where it was really worth it. But
I'm not sure
it might not
SNET,
be
SNET, what their particular case
is. It might not be that even that much. It might be something... If caller ID is available within Southern New England Telephone, it might be something as simple as them not actually connecting their SS7 network to the outside.
But as of December 1st, it's supposed to go nationwide. So
yeah.
I suspect that you'll start getting some numbers from Greenwich after then, unless they have antiquated phone systems,
mm-hmm.
in which case it might be a bit longer.
I see.
Okay.
I have another interesting thing. My phone number is 316-8600.
Okay.
So it's the...
Well, everyone after calling me can call you now. We can continue the party.
Well, no, it's a Kansas. It's a Kansas
area code. Well,
that's my prefix.
Your prefix. Oh, see, it's good that we have this terminology down because I know what you're talking about. Your 316 prefix is the same as a Kansas area code.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Good. I'm glad you said it that way. So you're getting all these calls from wayward Kansans.
No,
people,
actually, or? I'm not.
Oh, but you could be.
I could be.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you will.
It's a new prefix in Connecticut.
Well, it's a new area code. Don't start trouble. 860, right?
No. My new prefix is 316.
What's the new area code over there?
Well, I don't know what the new area code. I'm in a 203 area code.
Yeah, but virtually all of Connecticut changed. Did 860?
Well, in Fairfield County, we still have 203. In the other part, I think it's 860. I don't know.
All right. Well, there's a lot of changes on the horizon, that's for sure.
Right.
All right. Thanks for calling. You know, there's a better story comes out of Minnesota where the area code is 612, and lots of times people accidentally call Australia because that's country code.
Yeah, actually,
61.
Similar thing used to happen with my parents sometimes, where their prefix is the same as the country code for Guyana in South America.
No kidding.
Yeah, so people would forget to put the 011, and they would just start dialing.
Uh-huh.
And they would dial just a local call.
Wow. So what would your parents do?
Well, once they told me and I figured out what was going on, I told them to tell the people that they need to dial 011 before the number.
And hopefully the language...
Oh, yeah. This was a while ago. I don't think it's happened lately.
Okay. Well, this concludes our program for tonight. We successfully made it through this first night on the new board. What do you think? Sounds better to me.
Sounds good, yeah.
Definitely sounds good. We want to thank the WBAI supporters for making this possible. And, in fact, this is a new board, but it's a temporary room. So we're a bit cramped in here right now while we're rebuilding the master studio. And that will be in a couple of weeks where we have to adjust all over again to an even better environment. So we'll be back again next week in this environment for another edition of Off the Hook for Fiber Optic. This is Emmanuel Goldstein. Have a very good night, and let's all hope that the button works. Oh, good. We'll see you next week, 8 to 9 p.m. Good night.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself off shaving, now I can't make a call. I couldn't get my sweat, but if I could, they would. So then you bounce up the bed, expect the worst. I hope that's understood, but then you know.
On November 21st and November 28th, Weaponry will continue its look at the implications of Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin's assassination on the peace process and the Middle East in general. So tune in on November 21st at 12:30 a.m. Tuesday night and November 28th Tuesday night at 1:30 a.m. to listen